This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
The heartbeat of Saskatchewan is agriculture, and 620 CKRM is proud to be your source for everything ag. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with your host, Jim Smalley.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. And brought to you by Assiniboia Livestock for the most reliable and dependable way to market your livestock. Today, we talk to the winner in today's 620 CKRM Country Cookout Contest, with harvest wrapping up at the Girvan Area Farm. We have the latest crop report, and harvest weather was near ideal this past week. Real Agriculture reports from the Canadian Beef Congress. We talk with the new CEO of APAS. There's an update on Manitoba's harvest, and we look at farm machinery sales. The farm weather's in its usual spot at the bottom of the...
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection. A farmer north of Girvan is today's winner in the 620 CKRM Country Cookout Contest. Al McNabb farms 9,000 acres north of Girvan towards Davidson. He says harvest has wrapped up on his farm.
There the beginning of August, and we just wrapped up there on Saturday.
So how did the crops look this year?
They looked all right. Another rain or two would have been nice, but a lot better than last year.
Outline some of the yields for me. How did you do?
I'd say we were about average on most stuff. Our canola was down a little bit. It just heat got it in the summer there.
Which crops were best and which crops were worst?
Probably our wheat was our best, and lentils were all right. Peas were did well. Canola was so-so. It just got heat blasted.
Do you want to put any numbers to the yields?
Oh, like the lentils were around the 20, and the peas were 35-ish. Wheat, I don't know, it was probably around the 40.
Describe the growing season for me, especially how does it compare with last year?
We had some nice rains there at the start, and then near the end of, we dried right up, and then the grasshoppers kind of moved in and did their damage.
So what's your thoughts on prices this fall? How do they look to you?
I hope they kind of get a rally going here and start going back up a little bit more. They've kind of dropped off, but hopefully they start to come back.
Have you thought what you might seed next year?
We'll probably keep her fairly similar. Some peas, some lentils, some wheat, canola, and some barley.
Al McNabb farms north of Girvan, about 130 kilometers northwest of Regina. He is today's winner in the 620 CKRM Country Cookout Contest.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch Eaves Troughs. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavesTroughs.ca. And your Prairie Co-op Grow Team, fueling farms feeding families in Cupar, Ituna, Lipton, and Strasburg. Saskatchewan farmers made speedy harvest progress this past week. Provincial crop specialist Matt Struthers says combining is almost at the two-third mark across Saskatchewan.
There's great progress. We had ideal harvesting conditions over the past week, so now we're sitting at 64% of the crop now harvested, up from 42% last week and ahead of the five-year average of 57%. So a lot of the crop is off those fields, and then there's still an additional 20% of that crop ready to swath or straight cut. So a lot more of the crop still right around the corner from being taken off.
And what's the progress by region? What area is mostly advanced?
Well, the Southwest is almost done. They have 93% of the crop in the bin, followed by the West Central with 80%, the Southeast with 57%, the Northwest with 47%, East Central with 46%, and the Northeast with 41%. So all the regions are going full steam ahead, and harvest is likely to be wrapped up in 2 to 3 weeks in some areas.
How's the quality and yield look?
So we asked durum, pea, and lentil grades this week, and overall they look very good. But for durum, 50% are coming in at grade 1, 30% grade 2, 15% grade 3, and 5% grades 4 and 5. For peas, they're coming in at 45% grade 1, 46% grade 2, 8% grade 3, and 1% sample grade. Lentil grades are coming in at 34% grade 1, 60% grade 2, and 6% grade 3. So, like I said, overall very good. We are seeing some lower grades just due to lower kernel weights there in the west central and southwest, but for the province it's very it looks very good for quality.
How do yields look early on?
We covered yields last week, but we certainly saw that we saw an improvement in yields this year from last year, and especially in those eastern and northern regions that got the rain, and parts of the southwest and west central that did get that rain. But certainly many producers who unlucky to not receive that rain seeing very poor yields, and some even comparing the yields that they're seeing to last year. So hopefully they get some rain this fall, and next year things change for them.
How's the soil moisture?
It's continued to drop. We haven't had much rain since the end of July, early August. So cropland topsoil moisture is rated as 1% surplus, 37% adequate, 38% short, and 24% very short, followed by hay and pasture rated as 1% surplus, 27% adequate, 44% short, and 28% very short. So things are drying out very quickly out there across the province, and there are some concerns with fires, of course, and there have been a few combine and tractor and baler fires. So hopefully everybody's staying safe out there, and a nice gentle rain across the province would go a long way to keeping that risk down.
What were the main causes of crop loss this past week?
The biggest ones were frost and wind, along with some just those dry conditions on those pastures as well. So there was frost reported all the way from the southeast all the way up to the northwest. Damage is variable. It's still being assessed right now. Some areas had a light frost and others had a heavy frost. So we'll see in a few days. Likely by next week we'll have more information on the damage, but hopefully most of the crop is already off the field and out of harm's way. Wind also continued to blow around swaths and shell out many crops. And lodge many crops across the province. So again, hopefully they're able to just harvest ahead of that and get it off before any more major storms come through.
Matt Struthers compiles the weekly crop report for the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture.
We move water.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update. Bring the energy of Real Ag Radio to your next customer meeting or conference. From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture. Email advertising at realagriculture.com to learn more about this unique keynote opportunity.
Hey, Kara Oosterhaus here with realagriculture.com. I am here today at the Canadian Beef Industry Conference in Penticton, BC, and I have here with me Andrea White, who is with the CRSB. How's it going today?
Good. How are you?
Good. So here at the conference, you guys have talked about the ABCs of truth, so attitude, beef, and consumer. Now, one of the things you guys kind of looked at is what the impressions of sustainability are in the beef industry. Do you want to elaborate a bit on that?
Sure. So earlier this year, we did a consumer research study with a representative sample of Canadians across different ages, demographics, regions, and really dug into some of the perceptions and attitudes and awareness levels of sustainability in Canadian beef. So what we found overall is there's a very positive impression of the Canadian beef industry, beef production practices, and sustainable practices across Canada. Roughly 75% of Canadians think that we're doing a good job. We can produce beef sustainably, and the industry is trying to improve all the time.
So what aspects of sustainability are most important to consumers when you looked at some of the findings?
So we had one of the questions was kind of a list of some things that people might think are, you know, actions they can take to leave a sustainable lifestyle, and we had a ranking of those things, and really what topped the list was topics around waste. So how to reduce their food waste, you know, reducing the use of single-use plastics and non-recycled items, and I think that just shows that consumers really want to find ways that they can take action themselves.
Now, one of the really large focuses right now is, of course, the 2030 goals, and you guys kind of looked at what some of the impressions of the goals are. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, sure. We picked a few of the goal topics that the Canadian beef industry overall has set and kind of presented a few of those statements around those goals to this consumer study. And overall, the response to us setting those goals was very positive. And I think the three that kind of came out the most on top that people are really interested in was, again, how to reduce food waste, how we're going to do that as an industry, as well as what individual consumers can do. Of course, top of mind for a lot of people is climate change and how we can reduce our GHG emissions. So we're working at that 33% reduction goal. The last one, I think, is the beef producers, the land that's in the care of beef producers, and maintaining and enhancing those, you know, the wildlife habitats and the biodiversity there.
So what conversation do we need to have with Canadians more when it comes to sustainability in beef?
I think in general, what people might be hearing about beef production, they might not be getting the whole story, and it's really that whole food system approach. And I think the thing that when people hear, they might be surprised about that, the concept that beef production helps to enhance the land and wetlands and grasslands and all those great things, and helps support the habitat of not only the animals that they're caring for, but the land itself and all the other species that live there.
And how is the CRSB working to get the sustainability message out?
You know, we've been working hard over the last couple of years at creating some resources and videos and things like that. And what's neat about the CRSB is, you know, this roundtable approach where we've got folks from the beef producers all the way through to the end of the supply chain and others that support the beef industry. And so creating some things that those folks can share with their channels and with their audiences can just get that message wider. And we have, over the past year, seen some good success in partnering with others, whether they're other industry groups and even some of the third-party organizations that are part of the CRSB, like our environmental NGOs, on, you know, campaigns that are really going into that public sphere and kind of trying to tell that story of the intersection of grasslands, wetlands, and the beef producers that are operating on those lands, all those things. So,
okay, thank you very much for your time, Andrew.
Thanks.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
Be beat.
It's your agri weather forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Cloudy today, 30% chance of drizzle early this afternoon. Windy's 20 kilometers per hour. The high 16, the low 10. Friday, cloudy. Wind southeast 20, the high 18 tomorrow, the low 10. Saturday, partly cloudy. The high 23, the low 6. Sunday, sunny. The high 22, the low 10. Monday, partly cloudy. 40% chance of showers and a high of 21, the low 7. Tuesday, partly cloudy, the high 15, the low 5. Wednesday, partly cloudy, the high 12 degrees. Normal high is 18, the normal low is 3. The sun rose at 6:34 this morning, it sets at 7:13 tonight. And around the province, currently in Estevan, it's 14, Saskatoon 14, Swift Current 12, Weyburn 15, Yorkton 11. Regina, cloudy, 14, that's 57 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the east at 21. Light rain, Moose Jaw, at times today, 14. Winds are from the east, southeast at 22. Once again, Regina, cloudy and 14, that's 57 Fahrenheit. Back.
This spring, apply pre-emergent Edge Microactive Group 3 herbicide from Gowan, Canada, before seeding your canola, peas, or lentils. Maximize yield today and manage resistance tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan, Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. We forgot to mention the hot spot in Saskatchewan. It's Key Lake, way up north at 19 degrees. The cold spot, Wynyard, again today at 10 degrees. Saskatchewan's General Farm Group has a new executive director. APAS has hired Dion McGrath to replace APAS General Manager Dwayne Hovey, who retired in late August. McGrath grew up on a mixed grain and hog farm near Leroy.
Well, my background, Jim, is that I spent 15 years with the provincial public service in various policy-related roles, from pork processing and biofuels to rural and community development. And most recently, I was the CEO out at Southeast College for almost 7 years. Before I jumped out of all of that and joined the family business in the digital marketing world, just as COVID was starting back in 2020.
So I understand you come from a farm?
Yeah, I grew up the family farms located out in Leroy, and I spent my childhood and teenage years thinking that I was going to be a farmer until university showed me different alternatives, and I guess at the end of the day, I wasn't cut out for farming, I guess is how I would put it.
Tell me about your thoughts on agriculture policy now that you're the new executive director at APAS, Saskatchewan's General Farm Group.
Well, one of the things that I know about ag policy is that it's ever-changing and always top of mind, and the breadth and depth of the issues that impact agriculture, right from putting seed in the ground to getting the food to the grocery store, are complex and always in need of attention. There's no shortage of issues that impact the ag community, and that's really one of the attractiveness that I saw in this role is the ever-changing landscape in agriculture and, you know, some of the current issues today from carbon pricing and the fertilizer targets. These are all very interesting issues that Saskatchewan's ag community needs to, you know, make sure that we're doing the legwork to really define the problems to support our ag community, but also to ensure that long-term success is what we're all after because Saskatchewan, you know, runs on agriculture.
It is a big part of the provincial economy. So you see carbon pricing, fertilizer targets. What other issues do you see as key for APAS, support program development?
You know, for me at this point, my biggest focus going into this role is to go out and talk to our members and find out what they like about what APAS is doing and what they would like to see changed. And for me, that's a huge opportunity to engage in the member relations, to find out what our members are thinking, and really if some things need to change internally with what APAS is doing, that's a good way to get a handle on what the members' needs are and what direction and where they want to go and take things. So for me, it's about asking and listening.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going on a tour of various farm areas, rural municipalities, to find out what their issues are.
Yeah, I really want to get out and meet with our members, our representatives, our delegates, to really get a sense of where things are at for them, what they see as the top priorities. And for me, it's about taking all of those issues and needs and distilling that into how do we as an organization prioritize our resources to do what we need to do the policy work, to find the solutions that work, and to advocate for those solutions with government policymakers at all levels.
Dion McGrath is the new executive director of Saskatchewan's General Farm Group
8014.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelmann Industries. Look to Degelmann for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small-ton lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. Harvest continues to lag behind normal in Manitoba, with about one-third combined, or about 10 working days behind the usual pace. James Fry is a Manitoba agriculture crop specialist and covers northwest Manitoba. He says there's still a lot of canola left to combine.
Canola is about 25% done, and that's a bit of a moving target because quick drive around the country and you'll see that some, for sure, headlands of fields have been harvested and certain parts of some fields have been put in swath or even harvested, and some of it is in, you know, standing ready for straight cut. So it's kind of a bit of an estimate there to say 25% done for canola.
Canada Western Red Spring Wheat in Manitoba is mostly grading number one, with protein ranging 13.5 to 14.8%. Ergot levels are slightly elevated from previous years. Sales of combines rose in August in both Canada and the United States. Sales of tractors also rose in Canada but fell in the U.S. The latest data is from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, and Kurt Blades is the group's senior vice president.
If you look at the tractor and combine sales in Canada, we saw a nice amount of growth, especially in the ag tractors. We saw a 43%, 44% growth in tractors over 100 horsepower in the country of Canada for the month of August. And, you know, although we were flat in smaller horsepower tractors, under 40 horsepower tractors, 40 to 100, that 100-plus horsepower tractor market actually led to an overall growth of about 5%. For the month of August in Canada. The demand has been there on the ag market for quite some time. We've been seeing strong sales of larger horsepower tractors and articulated four-wheel drive tractors on both sides of the border for the last 8 to 12 months, despite some of the softness of the smaller tractors. I think that's largely because of a strong ag economy and the promise of a strong ag economy. However, the big challenge for these numbers to really reach their full potential has been the supply chain. And, you know, it's well publicized whether you're trying to buy a pickup truck or a pinball machine or a tractor. The deliveries are a little bit slow right now because the supply chain challenges are very real and very global.
That's Kurt Blades with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Stats Canada's reduced its canola production estimate by 400,000 tons, down to 19.1 million tons. The latest numbers come from satellite data gathered at the end of August. The previous estimate used information from the end of July. FarmLink Marketing Solutions senior analyst Neil Townsend believes the canola number could go lower when Stats Can releases its production report in December. Even if there is a decline, the 2022 canola crop will still be well above the 13.8 million tons produced during last year's extensive drought. Stats Canada boosted its all-wheat estimate by 100,000 tons to 34.7 million. Last year's wheat crop was only 22.3 million metric.
Arolo Weyburn.
The Market Updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market Update is brought to you by Freeze Thalmann Lumber. Get everything you need to finish your projects before fall from Freeze Thalmann in Regina and Fort Capel. Grain prices were showing some downward movement in early trading. Viterra prices for canola fell $4 at $756.95. One red spring wheat declined $1.65 at $393.43. The rest unchanged. Durham, $3.99.56. Feed barley, $2.92.87. Chickpeas, $9.25.95. Flax, $6.27.67. Lentils, $7.04.50. Oats, $2.55.32. Yellow peas, $4.31.13. Feed wheat, $2.89.56. At Minneapolis, December spring wheat fell 8 cents at $9.29 a bushel.
Yeah. It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The Livestock Quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock, 842-4574. And now, the latest Livestock Quotes.
Hello, cattlemen. Junior for Heartland Livestock of Yorkton with your market report for the week of September 14th. A smaller run on offer this week with 576 head in the pre-sort, 268 cows and bulls for a total of 844. On the feeder market, the cows and yearlings are under strong demand from our order buyers. Here are a few highlights of this week's sale. 750 weight yearling steers at 260, 945 weights at 230, and your 850 weights at 254. On the yearling heifers, 760 at 231, 835 at 226.50, and the 935 weights at 215 and a quarter. The calf market this week was strong. 467 weight buckskin steers at 337. 570s at 284.50 and the 636 weights at 273 and a quarter. Black steers 413 pounds at 323, 550 weights at 306 and your 495 at 306. Red X steers 569 pounds at 281.75, 632 weights at 276 and a quarter. The heifer trade this week, buckskin heifers 500 pounds, 250, 250, 650 weights at 233. The black heifers 480 at 240, 560 at 223. And the Red X heifer is 565 at 230, 50, 635 at 223, 75. On the cow and bull trade this week, the cows were 4 cents higher due to the quality of cows. 199 cows averaged $1.05. D1, D2 cows, $1.06 to $1.15, sales to $1.18. Your D3 cows, $92 to $102. Heiferettes, 110 to 155, sales to 159. 30 big bulls averaged $1.43, sales from 122 to 156. Producers, the barley and quarter horse production sale here at Heartland Livestock Yorkton, 5 p.m. Friday, September 16th. 34 lots of some of the best quarter horse genetics you can find. Once again, producers pre-sorts every week till Christmas, so give us a call here at HLS Yorkton to get them booked in. Once again, this has been Junior for Heartland Yorkton. Thank you and have a great day.
And now the latest Saskatchewan pork prices.
Ham sold 6,000 hogs Wednesday, selling in a range of 228 to 239 per CKG. Today's sales are expected to be around 7,300 head, selling in a range of $229 to $242 per CKG. Hams number 1,000 this week are down, selling in the range of 49 to 56 cents per pound live weight. Hams cash hog price today is up and full contract prices open higher this morning. On Wednesday, the Canadian dollar is down 33 basis points, with the daily exchange rate at 1.3166. And the Canadian dollar is currently trading at 75.70 cents U.S. Daily U.S. cash prices are higher compared to the previous day, but the weekly trend remains lower in all reporting regions. The Western Corn Belt improved $1.34 a hundredweight, but is $5.51 lower for the week so far. National formers were up 28 cents, but traditional national is down $3.10, and the cutout adjusted variant is $2.42 lower for the week so far. Lean hog futures are trending higher this morning, but were trading in a choppy pattern earlier in the session. The net result today is a 37-week contract that is presently valued at $212.70 Canadian per CKG from mid-October to June, which is the highest a full-range contract has been at this time of year ever. Further upside may indeed be possible, but there is exceptional value in the forward contracts today and unique opportunity to lock in cash flow certainty at record levels, especially in the shoulder seasons of Q4 2022 and Q1 2023.
Coming up, the resort.
Cheaper dealer. This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by Second Look Online Auction. Visit 2ndlookonlineauction.com to see what's up for bid. And brought to you by Western Ag Professional Agronomy. If you want to make cropping decisions with confidence, visit growmoreprofit.com. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency says the number of birds infected with avian flu is growing in the country, and Alberta has the highest number of cases of the disease. The organization released an update yesterday on confirmed cases of H5N1 in poultry farms. It says approximately 1,075,000 birds have been euthanized so far in Alberta. That's more than twice as many as Ontario, which has had about 567,000 birds affected. Saskatchewan and Alberta have secured a regulation exemption from Ottawa that will allow oil service rigs to move freely between the two provinces. In June 2019, both provinces signed a memorandum of understanding to help remove barriers to the movement of service rigs. Since then, they've been urging Ottawa to exempt service rigs from regulations that prevent vehicles and equipment from moving efficiently between job sites in the two provinces. On the markets, the TSX is down 38 points to 19,688. The Dow has risen 69 points to 31,204. Oil has fallen $2.87 at $85.61 per barrel. The Canadian dollar is at 75.80 cents U.S. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley. Good afternoon.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.